Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. And it is Monday, 4-20-2020, April 20th, 2020. That's a mouthful, 4-20-2020. Anyway, got a lot to get to. But before we get to what we've got listed in the broadcast notes, two things I wanted to get to. First one is two things I wanted to mention real quick. The first thing is something about this Event 201 pandemic global pandemic exercise that we've talked about here on this broadcast, on the Spreaker broadcast. Darren Weeks and Vicki Davis on Govern America have talked about this. It's been talked about a little bit on Farron Shove's Alternative Media, heard on the Republic Broadcasting Network every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It seems like the only places I've ever heard anybody talk about this is in the alternate, not the alternative, but the alternate media. Well, Glenn Beck this morning, he likes to do these little hangovers. Tomorrow, going to bring you an exclusive. He's going to talk about Event 201 tomorrow. That's what he was saying today. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Just had to send him an email. So I want to share with you the email that I sent to him. And I tried to be as polite as possible, but here it is. Mr. Beck, about the Event 201 global pandemic exercise. Given the fact that this exercise took place in October 2019, and many of us here in the alternate media were talking about this months ago, why are you just now getting around to this issue? Were you not paying attention to what we in the alternate media have been talking about for months now? Why is it that you people in syndicated radio, the mainstream media, always seem to be weeks, if not months, behind the rest of us? Just as was the case with the issues of FEMA camp several years ago, you, by your own admission on Fox and Friends, and others like you, were way behind those of us in the alternative media. For well over two decades now, we've been trying to get people to wake the hell up and listen. But as always, no one wants to listen to anyone who isn't part of the mainstream media and syndicated radio. But that's okay. You and others like you can remain in our shadow and continue to try to play catch-up, while those of us who do not get a paycheck and are not worth millions, like you, Rush, and the like, will continue to do what we do while we wait for you, at some point, eventually, to get around to discussing the issues that simply validate everything we've been saying for decades. And for those who claim that no one could have ever prepared for what we're seeing now with lockdowns, potential food shortages, emerging police state, and an overstressed healthcare system, nice try. We've been out here preparing for decades, not knowing exactly what was coming, but knowing that something dramatic was on the way and would result in an economic, societal, or government collapse, or a combination thereof. We did not know what the catalyst would be, but we knew when it happened, it would happen fast. And well, here we are. To say no one could have ever been prepared for this nightmare, nice try. We were and are prepared. You know, it's a damn shame that it takes something like this BS, panic-driven, plateful of bovine excrement that we see happening with this fear porn coronavirus. Gotta stay home, heaven forbid, you know, gotta sterilize everything, and life is never gonna get back to normal until we have a vaccine. And, you know, it's a damn shame it takes something like this to get you assholes in the mainstream media and syndicated radio to sit up and take notice. But even with all of that, you still push the narrative. You're still pumping the BS. You're falling right in line with your paymasters and your corporate sponsors and helping to push the propaganda and blow this way out of proportion. Absolutely sickening. The second thing I wanted to talk about was oil. And then we'll get to tonight's issues, tonight's agenda. This is taken from the Wall Street Journal earlier today. Again on Glenn Beck this morning, Glenn Beck was talking about, you know, there's all this oil stockpile and, well, you know, we're running into these over, overloaded supply lines or some whatever it was he was calling it. He's issuing people, get out, burn up that gas. Get out, drive around, burn up a tank of gas or two. Gas is so cheap now. Well, it is pretty cheap. Here in my area, it's down to like $1.59 a gallon. In Augusta last week, it was I saw one spot in Augusta, Georgia last week, it was $1.25 a gallon. I haven't seen those kind of prices in since George Bush Jr. But, you know, Glenn Beck's telling people we have an overabundance of oil. They can't sell the oil. We need to get out and burn up the gas and, you know, get the supply lines running again because they're not able to pump it out and they got no place to store it and blah, 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 blah. Look, where the hell, what, you just want us to get out and just drive around? Yeah, I'm sure the environmentalists would just love that. Look what you're doing. You're polluting the air. Your carbon footprint just went through the roof. You shouldn't be burning all of that oil. Just ridiculous. And people aren't going. People are not able to go to work. Oh, more than 50% of the U.S. population is not able. More than 50%. I think it was like 57. I think the numbers this morning were like 57% of the U.S. workforce is out of work. You have nearly two-thirds of the U.S. workforce out of work, and you want us to drive around and burn up gas? Are you going to fill up our tanks, Glenn Beck? Sit down and shut the hell up, you moron. So this I took this from the Wall Street Journal earlier today. Unprecedented feels like a tired word these days, but it is no overstatement when it comes to the oil market. U.S. oil futures plunged below zero for the first time Monday, a chaotic demonstration of the dwindling capacity to store all the crude that the world's stalled economy would otherwise be using. On Monday morning, prices on the expiring May futures contract for U.S. benchmark crude were merely at their lowest in this century. Some local spot prices were in the single digits. By the afternoon, though it was clear that things were getting out of hand as future prices fell to $10 and then $5 and then pennies and finally turned negative for the first time in history. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude to be delivered in May, which closed at $18.27 a barrel on Friday, ended Monday at negative $37.63. That effectively means sellers must pay buyers to take barrels of oil off their hands. Well, folks, for the first time in several generations, America is finally able to declare its energy independence just to have all of it swept away in just a few short weeks. Thanks to the foolish panicking of D.C. politicians, the mainstream media, and the general public who sheepishly followed police state dictatorial stay-at-home orders, not going to work, hiding in the dark from the evil COVID-19 coronavirus, which if one looks at the numbers, and I'm talking about the CDC's own numbers, don't even meet the same threshold as the past two flu seasons. So let's again, when we had 45 million confirmed cases in 2017-2018 flu season, and some 65,000 deaths in that same flu season, we're what? Only halfway to that number? And right now, and we're what? We're coming up on the end of the flu season. We've already peaked. We peaked in February. They want you to believe that we're peaking right now. No, we peaked in February, folks. Go back and look at the numbers. We peaked in late February, early March. Okay? Our peak is already come and gone. So we're coming up on the end of flu season. And if this really is a flu that we're dealing with, guess what's going to happen in the next few weeks as it warms up? Yeah. You get the idea, because the flu virus doesn't like cold weather or doesn't like warm weather. But hopefully we'll have time to get to that later on in this hour. Because I want to hopefully be able to talk about the difference between a coronavirus and an influenza. Yeah. But first, on with our issues for the evening. Miami Herald columnist Fabiola Santiago. Well, there's a little pushback. She tweeted something she probably shouldn't have tweeted. You know, they call it Twitter. So why do they call it tweeting when it ought to be twitting? And only twits twit? Yeah. Well, some beaches in Jacksonville began reopening last week because of the corona. And columnist Fabiola Santiago tweeted Sunday that the hundreds of people swarming to the areas will thin the numbers of supporters for President Trump, Governor DeSantis, and Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez. Here is her tweet. Packed beaches should not work nicely to thin the ranks of Trump, DeSantis, Jimenez supporters in Florida who value money over health. Now she's gone back due to some backlash. She has gone and deleted that post. However, she followed up by tweeting this. I deleted the tweet commenting on people at the beach because it didn't accurately convey my sentiment, and I want to apologize for the phrase I used that offended many people. Regardless of political differences, I would never wish any harm on anyone. In fact, my intent was to sound an alarm about prematurely opening up the country and the state. I was trying to open eyes, minds, and save lives, not to create a controversy about me instead of the issue. or not to create a controversy about me instead of the issue, which merits discussion. You know, Miss Santiago, take your apology and, well, I could tell you where to put it, but it would be anatomically uncomfortable, and you and your husband might have a problem with intimate moments thereafter. I don't accept your apology. And your tweet conveyed exactly what you were thinking. You know, all of these people, not just Santiago, but all of them. Everybody who's ever tweeted something absolutely stupid, off the chain, over the top, stupid, obscene, ridiculous crap, just to come back with an apology saying, that's not what I meant and I did it. Bullshit. You meant to, if you didn't mean it, you wouldn't have said it. Okay? You don't hear me apologizing for anything I say. You know why? Because if I don't mean it, I'm not going to say it. So I'm smart enough. I'm intelligent enough to know that my brain is thinking 10 sentences in advance, which is why sometimes I might have a hard time sometimes getting it out, because my brain is so far ahead of my mouth. But I'm constantly thinking well in advance of what I say, so that I make sure that when I speak, I say exactly what I'm thinking, and I don't have to come back later and apologize. So screw you, Santiago. Stick it up your wee-ha. Now, some of the comments that people had in response to her comment about thinning out the Trump supporters and all. Cliff Sims says, so your plan was to save lives by publicly hoping the virus would thin the ranks of Trump, DeSantis, and Jimenez supporters once the economy begins to reopen, but you'd like to clarify that you would never wish any harm to anyone? Question mark. Andrew Pollock said, dear Fabiolo Santiago, people who got to go to beaches are more safe than those who go to the grocery store and fight over the last roll of toilet paper. It's a shame to see the Miami Herald become the New York Times of the South. Santiago left up a different tweet Sunday criticizing people who were out in public suggesting they were Trump supporters by calling them red-hatted who were listening to their masters. You know, there are some people that simply should not be allowed to play with instruments that are technologically far too advanced for their simple minds. And Santiago, you need to sit down and shut the hell up. You and Joy Behar both. Oh, and let's throw Whoopi Goldberg into that little collection. Put you in the same category I put people like Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Dianne Feinstein, need I say more, Kamala Harris. All right, in the National Review, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, you know, they come out with these stay-at-home orders. You can't go anywhere. You can't go to work. You can't go to here. You can't go there. You can't go to the other place. Stay at home unless it's absolutely essential. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to the pharmacy. But, you know, you really can't go anywhere else because, well, we just don't want you getting sick. But yet, she goes and gets her hair done. And you know what her excuse was? I take my personal hygiene very seriously. Look, you know, Miss Lightfoot, I'm sure, like the rest of us, you could have gone a month or so without a haircut, all right? I've not had a haircut in, I don't know, 8 months. You know, but then again, I'm not so fickle and so ego-driven that I'm overly concerned with my physical appearance. Because I look at it like this. If my physical appearance offends you, look in a different direction. You ain't got to look at me. And honey, let me tell you something. I've had a real good look at you, and all the haircuts weaves, clip-ons, hair extensions, makeup, whatever it is that you want to try, ain't nothing going to fix the fugly that you got, okay? I'm sorry. And a haircut, if you're worried about your personal hygiene, wash your freaking hair. Quick as I can, because I'd like to take some calls later this hour. Did you know the coronavirus is racist? I bet you didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, it doesn't matter what it is. It don't matter what it is. Some jackass has got to play the race card. Celebrities out there, and this was in TheWeek.com just a couple weeks ago. Celebrities may be calling COVID-19 a great equalizer, but statistics from across the United States show that's far from the truth. Coronavirus case numbers and death tolls have revealed the virus is disproportionately affecting Black Americans in many parts of the country. Through statistics from some of the hardest hit areas, haven't been revealed yet, the New York Times reports. Black Americans make up just a third of Louisiana's population, but according to numbers released Monday by the state government, more than 70% of those who died of COVID-19 were Black. Chicago is less than one-third Black, but 72% of those who died of the new coronavirus were Black. And while the country county around Milwaukee is about 27% Black, around twice as many Black residents tested positive for COVID-19 as white residents. Well, here's the thing. White people don't tend to live all cluttered up on top of each other, all right? That's number one. You don't find too many two-bedroom apartments with 6, 8, and 10 white people living in them. See, there's another article here that says the same thing about Latinos disproportionately dying. Two different articles. One in TheWeek.com talking about Blacks are disproportionately dying. But this other one in USA Today says Latinos. Well, you know, again, it comes down. You go to white homes. All right. I grew up in the ghetto. All right. I grew up in the hood. I spent a lot of time in the hood. And white homes tend to be like smaller numbers, while Black and Latino homes tend to be large numbers of people. So, of course, when you cram twice as many people into the same limited amount of space, you increase the rate of risk to each other. And of course, when you have it, what they're not telling you is these people that are dying, it's not the coronavirus that's killing them. It's the underlying conditions like diabetes, obesity, you know, pneumonia, asthma, emphysema. You know, there's these underlying conditions. Pneumonia, bronchial infections. It's the underlying conditions that are killing them. And then when I'm watching videos of a bunch of Black people in the hood hanging out in the street at 10, 11, and 12 o'clock at night playing music at ridiculous volumes, all partying in the middle of the street, slobbering all over each other, well, gee golly, it's not a wonder you're getting sick. Stupid. If you act irresponsible, don't bitch, whine, and complain when something bad happens to you, dumbass. And I'm not a racist, folks. My son's mother is Black as a frickin' ace of spades, so I can't be racist. I got a little Black blood in me, so I can't be racist. It's impossible for me to be racist. But I look at the facts. And if what I say offends you, tough titty, said the kitty, but the milk's still warm, as my mama and my grandmama used to say. Get over it. Facts are facts. If you act irresponsible, don't bitch and whine and complain when something bad happens to you. It's like you jackasses running around with masks on your face. You're walking through the store, touching this, touching that, touching the other thing. You don't know who's done touched it before you did. I don't see you wiping it down with your hand sanitizer and your wet wipes before you touch it. No, you just walk up, pick it up, look at it, whatever. And what's the first thing you do when you get out your car? I watch people when they get in their car. They pull the mask off, and then they wipe their face, wiping the sweat out from around their mouth. They didn't wipe their hands off. Everything that you touched in that damn store is now on your face, you stupid ass. Dumb shit. You freaking people are acting like a bunch of morons. Grow the hell up and stop acting like idiots. I don't wear a mask. I don't carry handy wipes. And I'm not carrying a bottle of hand sanitizer with me. I go out. I do what I got to do. And I get it done. Go home. I ain't hiding. Next thing on the list is this police state bullshit that's going on. Talked about this a little bit last night with this Dr. Michael Ryan, epidemiologist and executive director of the World Health Organization's Health Emergency Health Emergencies Program. In some senses, transmission's been taken off the street and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in these families, find those people who may be sick, and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner. You know, something about the way this guy uses the word dignified just sends chills up my damn spine. There's nothing dignified about being dragged out of your house. And I'm here to tell you, if somebody's sick with the virus, they've been at home for the past 2 weeks, everybody in that damn house is already exposed. I don't think removing that one individual from the house is going to make any damn difference at this point. If you wanted to isolate them to protect the rest of the family, you should have done it the day they tested positive. You freaking people, you're acting like a bunch of brain dead morons. It's a damn shame when an ignorant ass, GED self-educated redneck like myself has got to talk sense to you because you're too stupid with your educated bullshit ass to figure it out on your own. You people are pissing me off. Edward Snowden just came out with an interview with The Vice talking about the government and is now at a could possibly take advantage of this pandemic to impose authoritarian rules. This is a word I always have a hard time with. As authoritarianism spreads, as emergency laws proliferate, as we sacrifice our rights, we also sacrifice our capacity or our capability to arrest the slide into a less liberal and less free world. Do you truly believe that when the first wave, the second wave, the 16th wave of this coronavirus is a long-forgotten memory, that these capabilities will not be kept? That these data sets will not be kept? There's nothing more foreseeable as a public health crisis in a world where we're just living on top of each other in crowded and polluted cities than a pandemic. Every academic, every researcher who's looked at this knew this was coming. And in fact, even intelligence agencies, I can tell you firsthand because they used to read the reports that had been planned for pandemics. Talked about last night, we talked about how Dr. Fauci gave a speech in 2017 talking about Trump was going to deal with a pandemic. He knew in 2017. We now have intelligence reports, talked about this last night, that told the president and others in D.C. of this potential pandemic back in November. They knew. And then we got the FAA telling us that the number of drones over U.S. skies are going to double this year. Quote, the most dynamic growth sector within aviation, drones. Unmanned aircraft systems will be the most dynamic growth sector within aviation. How the civilian drone market evolves, however, will depend on future security and regulatory measures put in place by the government, the FAA said, emphasizing that unprecedented milestones were already set in 2015. In December, the FAA released rules requiring registration of small unmanned aircraft weighing more than 250 grams or 0.55 pounds and less than 25 kilograms, 55 pounds, including payloads such as onboard cameras, writing in a report that, quote, this registration rule will aid in investigations and allow the FAA to gather data. Now, if that doesn't just give you the willies, how about this one? In Fox News today, because what I just told you about was an article that came out on March 25th of 2016. They were talking in 2015 that the number of drones would double by 2020. So today, FoxNews.com, drones being used around the country to enforce coronavirus lockdowns were donated by a company with ties to the Chinese government, raising concerns that the nation many blame for allowing the virus to become a pandemic has sneaked a powerful espionage tool into the skies above its economic rival. Drones from Dajiang Innovations have gone to 43 law enforcement agencies in 22 states to help ensure social distancing rules. In New Jersey, for example, the Chinese-made drones are being used to spy on citizens where patrol cars can't reach, like your backyard. Quote, should people be concerned? Yes, everyone should always be concerned. This, according to Brett Belakovich, former Army intelligence worker and author of Drone Warrior. You can never trust China. Now, the company denies any ulterior motives, but others, including drone experts, lawmakers, and watchdog groups, say it's a slippery slope and that the bad outweighs the good in this case. Headquartered in Shenzhen, China's version of Silicon Valley, DJI is the world's largest and best-known drone maker. And the cool thing is, they can make upgrades to the software remotely. So all they need is for somebody sitting in a van with the right tech to make a few strokes on a keyboard. And now China can gather all the intelligence they want because you dumbass numbnuts in law enforcement want to fly their drones over our skies. And I don't want to hear any bullshit about tariffs on China and how tough Trump is on China and blah, 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 blah. I don't give a damn. You find somebody with a Trump hat, a Make America Great Again, or Trump 2020, or whatever hat, look at the label inside and tell me where that hat's made. The T-shirts, look on their label and tell me where they're made. I've not seen one yet that wasn't made in China. So don't tell me about being tough on China. Kiss my ass. Folks, you are being played again. I don't know how many times I got to tell you this. Since 2009, when I first started doing talk radio, internet streaming. I see Bringing It Boy in the chat room, howdy doody. Robert, Suzette, whichever one you might happen to be, or if it's both of you, hiya. But I don't know how many times I and others like me have to tell you people, you are being played again. And you just keep sucking it right up. You just keep eating it up. And you're going to come back 5 years from now, like you always do.
And you were right.
No shit. How many? I've been through this route with my family. I don't know how many times where they tell me I'm a tinfoil hat wearing nut job conspiracy theorist. 5 years later, they come back and,
you know, you were right.
Well, no shit. How many times have we got to do this where you call me a nut job conspiracy theorist? You come back several years later, tell me I'm right. It's just a repeating habit we got going on here. Kind of like I was talking about earlier in the broadcast here this evening about Glenn Beck. How many years did we talk about FEMA camps constantly on Fox News, calling us a bunch of wingnut conspiracy theorists? And then finally one day on Fox and Friends, had to admit they were right. Well, no shit, Sherlock. This is a never-ending repeating scenario where everything that we keep trying to tell you people, we are continuously being validated, but it takes you 3, 4, and 5 damn years to catch up. We've been talking about this, like I mentioned earlier this evening. We were talking about this Event 201 global pandemic exercise that took place in October last year. We were talking about this 2 freaking months ago. Glenn Beck has just now got around to it. He made a brief mention today, this morning. I'm going to tell you all about it tomorrow. An exclusive. Exclusive, my ass. You're playing catch up, Glenn. Fucking driving me nuts with this crazy ass bullshit. Then we've got this whole stimulus crap. Chicago mayor, yeah, we mentioned her earlier, where she was talking to Dr. Fauci was talking about it in 2017. I talked about it last night. He gave a speech in 2017 that let me see if I can find the headline here again. Where is it? Medical, I think. Dr. Fauci warned in 2017 surprise outbreak during the Trump administration at a Georgetown University Medical Center speech given on January 10th, 2017. He gave a speech called The Pandemic Preparedness in the Next Administration at Georgetown University Medical Center. That was 2017. And Trump was warned last November. We now have intelligence releases, reports that have just come out that tell us that Trump was warned back in November about the epidemic in China. We talked about that last night as well. So again, we're back to this freaking Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Earlier this evening, I was talking about how she insisted everybody had to stay home. You can't go to work, can't do this, can't do that. But she goes out and gets her hair done because she takes her hygiene seriously. It's okay for you to stay home and quarantine yourself, but she has, because she's concerned with her hygiene, she's got to go get a haircut while you have to stay home. I still say if you're that worried about your hygiene, wash your frickin' hair. But she's now turned around and she signed an executive order. Yeah, folks. She signed an executive order back on April 7th to issue COVID-19 relief funds to illegal immigrants. Of course, this is coming out of the taxpayers' pockets in Chicago. This isn't coming from federal funding. This is coming, if you live in the Chicago area, you are giving your tax dollars into illegal immigrants once again. And it's not just there. California's done the same thing. Governor Newsom, he signed an executive order to give $500 to roughly 150,000 illegal immigrants. But again, that's coming out of the pockets of the California taxpayer, not the federal. Just ridiculous. Then we've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Remember, what was it about a week? I think it was just a couple days after they signed this $2.2 trillion stimulus package to give everybody $1,200, all Americans $1,200 to help them get through this crisis. I told you back then that Governor Thomas Massey, or not Governor, Representative Congressman Thomas Massey of Kentucky, was telling us that Pelosi and them already had Stimulus 4 and Stimulus 5 working on the tables, trying to get them ready to go. Well, now we've got, just come out today in the Huffington Post, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, the one that didn't know what a garbage disposal was for.
Is this thing even environmentally safe?
Yeah, that one. She said Monday that if reports are true about the contents of the new COVID-19 stimulus bill that Congress is now negotiating with the Trump administration, she plans to vote against it because, and get this, she wants left-leaning members of Congress to add more aid to cities and states, relief for renters, universal vote by mail, and aid to undocumented immigrants. And if she doesn't get it, she's going to vote against it. I'm not here for a $5 bill. I'm not. And I will not insult my community with one. Folks, you can't make this shit up, man. These people are just off the wall insane. But if that's not crazy enough, a couple weeks ago when the stimulus bills were first presented, I know I did, and I think, I'm not sure, I think Suzette from Suzette Live Talk had also mentioned some of the stuff that was in the bill on her broadcast. And I know several others also talked about what was in the stimulus bill when they were first presenting it, when they were talking about $35 million to go to the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts and all kinds of other stupid crap like that. Well, folks, Harvard University, America's richest university, a university with a massive $41 billion a year endowment, has managed to lay its hands on $9 million from that federal coronavirus aid, relief, and economic security act. Yeah, part of that $2.2 trillion? Yeah! Harvard University gets $9 million of that. Meanwhile, they're giving students 1 week to pack up and get out and go somewhere else, whether they got anywhere to go or not. There are some Harvard students that they'll be able to go home, stay with their mom and dad. Some may be staying with their grandparents. Some may be staying with uncles or aunts or brothers or sisters. But there are students, I saw some interviews earlier today where some students said they got nowhere to go. They don't have any family. They don't have any place to go. But they're being kicked out. They're being told you got a week to pack up and get out. They don't even have the money for storage units. This is Harvard University, a $41 billion a year endowment, and they get $9 million of that $2.2 trillion relief package. Folks, again, you are being bamboozled. You are being taken to the cleaner. This is, you know, they said that during the Obama administration, they were talking about this is the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of this country. Wrong, folks. This right here, this is the biggest theft of American wealth in the entire history of this country. By far beats the Obama administration. It beats the Great Depression. It beats the housing and land theft that took place in the 1800s when the banks foreclosed on farmers across the country, all combined. Trump has incurred more debt in his 3 years than every president from Washington all the way up to and including Obama combined. You thought Obama was bad. In terms of the payout from CARES, Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund, at least half of the $8.7 million earmarked for Harvard must be reserved for emergency financial aid grants to students, according to the Harvard Crimson, which was the first to report the aid. But at least some of that money, which could be used to cover tuition payments and course materials, would also end up in Harvard coffers. The funds would also likely be spent on extra technology, food and housing costs that students incur amid disruptions in their education due to COVID-19, according to CARES provision. The problem is that's not going to happen because Harvard is kicking the students out, telling them to pack up and get gone. Absolutely freaking ridiculous. We're coming close to the end of our set agenda for this evening, so we could probably take one or two calls. 215-383-3876. 215-383-3876. Love to hear your thoughts. Something I have been wanting to get to for days, and I'm finally going to get the chance to do it. They keep calling this coronavirus or COVID-19 a flu. Well, you have coronavirus, then you have influenza. See, the flu is an influenza virus. You can't be a coronavirus and be an influenza virus at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. You either got to be a coronavirus or an influenza. Well, what are the differences? Okay. A coronavirus, by definition, and I love to go to the medical definitions because you can't lose when you go with the actual definitions. Medically, this is how they explain a coronavirus. Coronavirus are a group of viruses that are common in both humans and animals. They usually cause mild to moderate respiratory illness. The source of the COVID-19 is suspected to be animals in an open-air market and is possibly a previously unrecognized bat coronavirus. Appears to cause a more severe illness progressing to pneumonia. This is a rapidly evolving situation, and more is being learned about this new virus every day, and updates are available on the CDC website. So what is the difference between this coronavirus and the flu? COVID-19 is a new type of coronavirus which emerged in late 2019. And because it's a new virus, public health professionals are still learning more about its transmission, symptoms, and severity. To date, the flu is more likely to appear with rapid onset of illness, high fever, and prominent headache, and body aches. In contrast, COVID-19 may present with slower onset of illness, mild headache, and body ache, and mild absent fever. Now, what are the... Here is the influenza, or the flu. The flu is a contagious respiratory illness caused by influenza virus, not a coronavirus, that infect the nose, throat, and sometimes the lung. People, young children, and people with certain chronic illnesses, such as asthma, heart disease, diabetes, and among other things, are at increased risk for serious complications, including pneumonia, and the best way to prevent flu is by getting a flu shot every year. There's your difference between the coronavirus and the influenza. So if this COVID-19 is a coronavirus, it's not a flu. The common cold is a coronavirus. The Spanish flu is an influenza. See the difference? COVID-19 is a coronavirus. H1N1 is a flu. Again, there's a difference. Now, there's this wonderful chart here that actually shows the symptoms. And it shows the similarities and differences between influenza and coronavirus. So they have one column, which is symptoms, a column for allergies, a column for cold, a column for influenza, and a column for coronavirus. Cough, allergies sometimes, cold often, influenza often, coronavirus often. Fever, allergies never, cold rare, influenza often, coronavirus often. Fatigue, allergies sometimes, cold sometimes, influenza often, coronavirus often. But here's where it starts to take a difference. Shortness of breath, allergies rare, cold rare, influenza rare, coronavirus often. Stuffy nose, allergies often, cold often, influenza sometimes, coronavirus rare. Sneezing, allergies often, cold often, influenza rare, coronavirus rare. Sore throat, allergies rare, cold often, influenza sometimes, coronavirus sometimes. Headache, allergies rare, cold rare, influenza often, coronavirus sometimes. Body aches, allergies never, cold often, influenza often, coronavirus sometimes. Diarrhea or GI, allergies rare, cold rare, influenza sometimes, coronavirus sometimes. So you see the differences between an influenza and a coronavirus. They're actually quite different. So, now you know the difference between a coronavirus and the flu. So if they keep talking about this coronavirus flu, bat flu, Wuhan flu, China flu, Hong Kong flu, or whatever they want to call it, it's not a freaking flu. I kind of took issue in the beginning when Trump was kind of like comparing the coronavirus to the cold, but turns out he was actually right. And finally, the last thing on our list. Did you know there's a new thing called COVID toes? Yeah, COVID toes. You want to know what that is, don't you? It's amazing to me, as this progressed, we started hearing all these new symptoms kept popping up. A metallic taste in your mouth. Tingling in your fingers or in your arms. Something that felt like electric shocks running up your arm and down your legs. Well, now we have corona toe or COVID toe. The coronavirus has now infected more than 2.4 million people worldwide, causing a range of symptoms from fever and dry cough to temporary loss of taste and smell. Now experts in dermatology worldwide are warning of a new potential sign of the virus, which may have previously gone overlooked. An inflammation of blood vessels in the hands and feet, and it's been named COVID toe. And you can actually go online, folks, and type in COVID, COVID, /toes, TOES. Click on images in your little search bar there so you can see they actually have these really cool little pictures. Folks, this is just, I never thought I would live to see the day when people would fall for this level of bullshit. I mean, seriously. How in the hell can people walk around trying to act like they're so freaking smart? I'm the smartest person I know. Yeah, I'm sure you are. You don't know much, do you? People who think they're so damn smart buying into this bullshit. Lock, stock, and freaking barrel. I ran into a guy today, boy. He introduced himself. I reached out to shake his hand. He wants to fist bump me. Dude, look. You shake my hand or you fist bump. If I'm contaminated, shake my hand or fist bump. Either way, you got it, pal. What a freaking idiot. I swear to God, man. The level of stupidity that I am witnessing on a daily basis is beyond anything I ever imagined. I'm starting to think. You ever see that movie Idiocracy? Yeah. If you ain't seen the movie Idiocracy, go watch it, because I swear to God, that's where we're at. Or we're awful damn close. This truly is a case of life imitating art. Truly more wacky than fiction. Just absolutely freaking ridiculous. Well, we managed to get through everything tonight. I wasn't sure we was going to get through it all. Anyway, before we leave, I want to remind everybody, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with Art Underground on Spreaker.com. Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio is the channel. Spreaker.com/users/user, singular. Spreaker.com/user/ideas are bulletproof radio. Spreaker.com, the channel's Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Saturday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. on the Pacific. American Renegade with Art Underground, that's me. Tuesday evenings at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Suzette Live Talk. Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, RZ's Thursday's Tune Show. And Saturday, RZ's Free Speech Zone at 8 p.m. Eastern, all on Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Till next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. For American Renegade, I'm Art Underground. Be safe out there. I'm gonna make you mine.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.